Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly circle, the yarning circle it is, and you're yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know at BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416, and our voice for our people, so do utilise it, and coming to you live here from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. Don't forget you can text us as well, 045-714-0550, and Facebook page as well, BBM987FM, and look, add to the conversation, please do, on National Talk Black. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country, I was welcome back to National Talk Black, and have your say. COVID-19 is upon us, so I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the Mayor of Yarra. I've got Ross Andrew on the line. Ross, very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Trevor. Good morning, and morning to the listeners.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Look, the restrictions are slowly lifting here in the States. How's it looking regarding Yarrabah? We had a few protests going on in regard to restrictions. How are we travelling at the moment, please, Ross?
Yeah, there was a bit of noise over the last few weeks out here in regards to the restrictions that's been in place on our biosecurity communities. We had a bit of relief on the weekend there where we've been in dialogue with the state now for a couple of weeks in terms of trying to ease some restrictions, you know, so that our mob can have access to shopping and essential services back in Cairns. So that's been a bit of a relief and a bit of a relief for our mob out here. So, but I've had really mixed messages in terms of, you know, some are in favour of the easement, but some would, you know, remain status quo.
Look, and as a First Nation man and a mayor of a First Nation community, a bit of a juggling act for you in regarding restrictions. It seems like sometimes throughout the COVID-19, there's been one rule for one, different rule for another. When you look at Cairns, like, for example, the shopping centres, Cairns Central, Kmart, what have you, all open, and Cairns City constituents were allowed to visit, but still a lockdown in Yarrabah. Must get frustrating for the mob and you juggling the process, yeah?
Yeah, it's still a bit of a challenge when, you know, the easement has been eased across, the state probably this afternoon. And we're still in, I guess, you know, a limited restriction area. But I think, you know, COVID-19 doesn't really discriminate with age, gender or culture. So as long as we can protect our mob, our elders and our people who are chronically sick, and we've also got to find a balance between having, you know, some of the pressure points lifted. So, yeah, it's been a challenge over the last many, many weeks. We have been working really hard behind the scenes in terms of creating our own localised roadmap.
Yes.
You know, as long as we can prioritise that, public health and safety is really a priority for us.
And then if you look at the decisions you got to make, I mean, of course, I'm very cautious and being protective, but overall, across the globe, you know, we are all in the same boat. There's no vaccine for the virus. And look, the scary thing is, look, because of the restriction being lifted, there could come a second wave, and it's unseen for everybody, yeah?
Yeah, I think, you know, with the virus, I think it's far from over. So we have to tread cautiously, and we have to be mindful that we have to respect, you know, the rights of individuals, but what comes with rights is responsibility. So we had demonstrations a few weeks, you know, leading up over the last few weeks in terms of rights, but what comes really hand in hand with those rights is responsibility. So we've got to actually try and advocate responsibility now so that we protect our mob, our families and our elders and our families who are crook. So I'm very strong on rights,
yep,
but I'm also strong on responsibility. So the responsibility the community now, seeing that, you know, there's been an easement restrictions, have to take really full responsibility now, you know, in terms of preventing COVID from coming to Yarrabah.
Mm, well, exactly. And when you look at mayors of cities and communities, you know, premiers of states and territories, you know, presidents and prime ministers of countries, they all make that decision. But like I said, the unknown virus that we're dealing with here makes it very scary. But this responsibility does come with that. And the decision making is unseen to the effects of those decisions. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely, Trevor, because, I mean, you know, this is a global pandemic that affects everybody worldwide, you know, and, you know, there's no vaccine as yet for it. So we've got to be mindful that whilst we still want things to go back to normal, we've still got to be mindful about, you know, COVID-19 is still out there. And we have to tread with caution, but with a bit of responsibility as well, so... I think it's important for now that the community is having some form of easement, that the responsibility now goes back onto individuals and community around personal hygiene, social distancing, you know, and protecting mob.
So with it all, before I let you go, Ross Andrews, Yarrabah Mayor, what's the outcome in regarding decisions making? Where are we at the moment? Restrictions have been lifted. Are people of Yarrabah allowed to come and go now? Where are we at?
Well, my elected team, who has been democratically elected by the people of Yarrabah, is working really closely with the you know, the local disaster management group and the district. In terms of which we've done a lot of work over the last few weeks in terms of creating our own roadmap.
Yep.
Having sitting down and having telephone conversation now with Minister Crawford about our roadmap, and you know, working towards you know, maybe some additional easement. So I think it's important for us to acknowledge that the Yarrabah community should have trust and faith in their leaders, and we're the democratically elected people to really lead this community through this pandemic.
Sure. So at this point in time, the roads are still blocked at Yarrabah?
Yeah, there's still you know, some restrictions there. The roads are still open. It's continuing as per the weekend there. So we're working with education. Queensland, in terms of trying to, you know, get kids back to school. People still have that 6-hour time frame, you know, to you've got a chance to do the essential.
All right, they've got a 6-hour to space, a 6 hours to return back to community. Is that right?
Yeah, they've still got that window of opportunity. Everything that got released on the weekend is still continuing.
Okay.
I think as long as they can go from, you know, as long as they're back past the entry point before daylight. So that's a word we're using, before daylight. So the restrictions have been eased and it's continuing, but there are some logistics that we need to work through in terms of trying to get, you know, Education Queensland, but getting other logistical planning around, you know, getting families back to community as well. So
beautiful.
If community can be a bit patient in terms of us working through that process and work through the elected leaders, you know, I think we'll get there soon.
Good, beautiful. Well, thank you for the information. All the best to you and the mob there. Thank you very much. You take care and keep your family safe too, brother.
Okay, mate. Thank you.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there, yarning there with Ross Andrews, Yarrabah Mayor, and talking about the restrictions at Yarrabah. Look, slightly lifted in regard to the constituents there. The mob there can travel into Cairns, for example, as long as they return within 6 hours or by the end of daylight. So that's the goal there. So slowly lifting, but still juggling act there for Ross Andrews regarding protecting his mob there in the Yarrabah community. We're going to catch up a yarn there, and a man who was part of the protest going on there is the MP, Member of Parliament, Mr. Bob Catter. Got him on the line. Bob, very good morning. How are you?
Who am I speaking to?
Oh, sorry, brother. This is Trevor. Trevor Tim. Viv
How
Tim
going,
boy.
Carl?
How you going, brother? I'm good. Good.
We're sort of related.
We are connected,
keep
yes.
Going, keep going, keep
played
going,
football.
Keep
Daddy put you in the corner many a times, eh, on the wing?
sitting here looking at his picture, actually.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, Bob.
Kept being the Clint Curry under
Murray from the Curry. So, my brother, just finished having a talk to Ross Andrews from Yarrabah. The restrictions have been lifted a little bit in regarding a six hour window opportunity for mob to travel. But your chat with you last week on National Talk Black on the local program, COVID-19 program, with myself here at Bama Bipra, you were talking about the old hands have come back in regarding restrictions and holding the black man down. That's what you sort of put across the airways. You agree that's the situation?
Well, you know, they called it then the Black Power Movement. Started in Queensland, and there was some rioting, continuous rioting, led by one of the Fides on Palm Island over the Act. And the Act, you were sent to a community area. A number of them had been penal settlements. They didn't use that word, but they were penal settlements. Mm. Our mob, the Kalkadoons, were sent there, and a lot of the Torres Strait Islanders, because there wouldn't be in the need of the white fellows, were sent to Palm Island. And it was Palm Island where the demonstrations and street action and rage broke out. But you were not allowed to go onto the first Australian community without the permission of the superintendent. That was the same name used for a person in charge of a jail. And you could not go on to the community or leave the community without his permission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it was like 20, 30 years of fighting to get rid of all of that. And we're back to where we started from again. You're not allowed to go into or out of Yarrabah without the permission of the white fella. And we're not locked down like the rest of Australia. We're locked up.
That's how you saw COVID-19 and regarding the restrictions? We were locked up, locked down?
There was you know, a line drawn around Yarrabah, and the only way out is that road, and there were five police manning the barricades at the road. So police locked us in.
Mm.
So we were locked up, not locked down. And, you know, I caught war for 5 or 6 weeks. But quite frankly, my own reaction, as a person identifies as first Australian often, and one of the current mob, of course, and but I just sort of felt like we were being treated like some other sort of species, like monkeys or something, you know, that we had to be treated differently. And when I continuously rang up, they used the words diabetes and housing. Well, I mean, the housing program has been abolished. The federal government housing program has been abolished. And as for diabetes, the Prime Minister promised me, I think it's 15 months ago now, that we would get market gardens. I had three wishes when I had a bit of a balance of power there. Well, I had a balance of power. And one of my three wishes was for market gardens to overcome diabetes. Well, if you're so worried, Mr. State Government, about diabetes, why haven't you done something about it? You abolished every single community in Queensland. Had a market garden put there by the missionaries or put there by the government or put there by somebody, but every single community had a market garden. Now no communities have a market garden, and we just can't afford fresh fruit and vegetables. And by the time they get in to the pumperows and the dormitories and the arrogans, the shelf life is gone. Mm. I mean, they're really overripe, and costing twice as much as though it cost the supermarket at Cairns or Brisbane. So to overcome that, I asked for the market gardens. If you were so worried about diabetes, how come 15 months, Mr. Federal Government, you've done absolutely nothing about it? And how come, Mr. State Government, in 30 years, you have done nothing about it? You abolished them all when the government fell in 1990. You abolished all the market gardens. And then you're whinging and crying about diabetes. Well, you hypocrites. You hypocrites.
Mm.
And I just feel, once again, the white fella's looking after us. You know, he's looked after us so well, we're locked up.
So when you look at COVID-19, you're saying that it has exposed the action or non-action that the government, federal and state, has delivered.
The non-delivery.
Yeah, non-delivery, suppose, yep.
The hypocrisy of them. But Trevor, I asked a number of people to come together as an action council, and you know, anyone's listening into this, if they want to be on the action council, I'm not going to go over it again because I think there's some dangers in me going over it, but life expectancy, we have the lowest in the world. Incarceration, we have the highest incarceration rates in the world. Suicide, we have the highest suicide rates in the world. Stolen children, we have the highest stolen children rate in the world. Now, you know what, if you want to fight, and this gets the United Nations, well, you'll be the South Africa of the next century. Mm. And you're going the right way about it. You've already precipitated rioting in Arakoon with this lock-up. You know, a death in Mornington Island, Doomadgee. You know, jailings in Doomadgee, according to the media. Mass demonstrations in Yarrabah. If you can't see the writing on the wall, then, you know, you deserve what's coming. And there is a locomotive coming down that tunnel. And that locomotive are those dreadful, dreadful figures. You're quite right in closing down the monitoring and closing the gap, because it was monitoring that it was widening the gap.
Mm.
Not going away, it was widening. But, Trevor, anyway, Premier is coming to Cairns to make some announcement today, and I understand that she may have a reception committee there, but I don't know. I'm getting this about 15. I just feel it's time that people really have to stand on their hind legs now.
Sure.
And fight.
Well, when you look at the COVID-19 and we First Nation people, especially our elders, were vulnerable to this virus, but when you're having like 3-4 families living in one house, as you mentioned, housing, it, like I said, exposed the government not acting or not adding to fundamentals of living standards for First Nation people in this country.
There's a book out, Trevor. Sarah Madison, she's a high-flying academic. She's a deputy dean of the Faculty of Political Science and History at Sandstone University, Melbourne University, oldest and most distinguished university in the country. And she's got a book out, and she said, basically, the white fellow's never going to get it right when it comes to black fellows. And it's a brilliant book. I couldn't put it down. Mm. It was brilliant. And she's dead right. But when the first Australians had control, that was when I was the minister. But it wasn't I. It was Greg Wallace, one of the Rosendale clan, and he got work for the Dole going and got 60 Minutes twice, which was huge in those days. And then Gerhard Pearson, Nolly's brother, another Rosendale. Gerhard come up with the idea of using the work for the Dole labour to build the houses. And then Lester Rosendale and Eric Laws from Cherbourg, they were on the department. They got agreement from all of the community councils that all houses would be built by exclusively local Indigenous labour.
There's the employment problem. There's the solution for housing.
Well, we had enough money to build about 400 houses, and we ended up building about 2,000. And Donnie Fraser, your family would know their family, the Frasers.
Yeah.
But he came up with the block-making factories. So we had 8 block-making factories. We were into secondary industry at this stage. With the block-making factories, they were supplying white fella communities as well as black fella communities. Now, all that has been swept away. When the government fell in 1990, we First Australians lost control completely of the department and all aspects, and we're back to the bloody Stone Age, being locked up as we are at the present moment. And there's been some amelioration, and I think that's only a result of the demonstrations, the very fierce demonstrations, that that I saw taking place at Yarrabah, at the police checkpoint. But, I mean, you know, there's no police checkpoint going into Cairns or Cloncurry or Toowoomba or Brisbane. So, yeah, you know, how come we got a checkpoint?
So you're saying one rule for one, different rule for another. And don't let COVID-19 become the excuse, so to speak, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but Trevor, the thing that we've got to understand, that the cancer upon the soul of all of we first Australians is not racist. That's nowhere near as bad as paternalism. I mean, we were locked up, you know, through the first half of the last century. We were locked up, the same as we are now. And they were doing it to protect us. They're doing it to protect us. And there was some justification in that argument. There's some justification in the argument now. But they're always doing it to protect us. The white fella is looking after us. Well, you know, it hasn't occurred to the white fella that maybe we can look after ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it for 50 or 60,000 years before.
We got the solution to the problems, right, to our own problems.
Yeah, but every Australian, I truly believe that every Australian wants us to be Australians. No difference, right? But there is a huge difference. And they're using paternalism the same as they did in the bad old days. Paternalism and the argument, oh, we're taking these kids off you because you're not really capable of dealing with them. You know, we're doing it to protect you and your children. We're taking these children off you to protect you and your children. Yeah, we're locking you up just to protect you from COVID-19, you know, we're locking you up. Oh, no, we're handling the housing because you can't really handle the housing. Well, we did from 1984 through to 1990, we seem to have done pretty 10,000 times better job than you did. So my case rests. But I ask everyone listening to this program that paternalism is depriving us of our freedoms and our rights. And recognise that. Recognise that. The enemy is not racism. It is an enemy, but it's not a big enemy. But paternalism is what is corroding away all of our rights and freedoms. Greg Wallace, I don't want to go on too long, Trevor, but Greg Wallace asked him to stand in the Senate. You know, he's one of the Rosendales and force of the Senate, the KP party. And we're pretty unashamedly, to some degree, a black fella party. But I asked him to run for us. And this boy said, when he did the press interview, right? He said, when I was CEO at Napperton, he said, every CEO in Cape was black fella. Now they're all white fellas. He said, when I was CEO at Napperton, we had 36,000 head of cattle. Now we've got no cattle. When I was CEO at Napperton, we had market gardens on every community. Now there are no market gardens. When I was CEO at Napperton, we had 2,000 people employed in work for the Dole. Now, there's no one employed work for the Dole. Well, there is, but it was a pretty fair call to say that it's not there now. He said, of those 2,000 jobs, nearly 700 were employed in the house building. So all of them are qualified bricklayers. Now, that meant a bricklayer last year in Townsville getting $72 an hour. It is a very, very good skill to have. But there were 700 people who had that skill. And all that went down the chute when the government fell in 1990, and we first Australians lost complete control of our own affairs. And that was the point that Wallace was making. He did not put the boot in. He did not mention the life expectancy. And let me just, I have got the figures for only one community because they're trying to hide the figures. And it took me nearly 2 years to get those figures. Life expectancy for males is 41. For Australian male, it's 81. Black fella, Australian, 41. White fella, Australian, 81.
Big difference. 40-odd years difference.
That's the figure, right. With women, it was 53. Life expectancy, black fellow life expectancy 53, white fellow life expectancy 83. Yeah, those figures taken from the community areas. You know, I'm not saying that a person living in Cairns. That's different. But are we going to stand aside as Australians, I'm not talking about as black fellow Australians, I'm saying every Australian, regardless of his colour or his background or anything else, we just stand aside and let this continue. As Australians, all of us, whether you live in Cairns or Sydney or Palmer or wherever, we all got to stand up and reject this. And this has been the tipping stone for me, this COVID-19. Mm. We've just been treated like, I cannot produce the phrase. I just feel...
locked up, not locked down.
I'm being treated like a monkey or some, you know, different species. Oh, no, you have to be locked up. Oh, no. Oh, we've got to look after you. You know, it'd be terribly dangerous if we let you have the same rules as everyone else. We won a little tiny bit of ground, but I think we sent a much more powerful message, that demonstration, and I think all the people involved in it. Of course, it takes a bit of guts to do those things. Mm. Well, I had to walk 8 kilometres, 10 kilometres, you know, to get to that. There was only about 3 or 4 cars on the other side of the police barricades. But, you know, police barricades, I mean, geez, in the year of our Lord, 2020, police barricades.
Mm. Not good in the 21st century is what you're saying.
Trevor, I'm just so angry about it, and I haven't got a sense of balance either, which is not good. I'm just controlling my rage on the issue. And, you know, I feel that every decent Australian, they hate it when they're watching their country being sold off. They hate it when they privatise the assets because you know it's going to be sold to some foreign corporation. The Chinese own 40% of our electricity.
That may all change now with Chinese not at the table no more?
Through the solar panels. Sorry, I missed your question, Charlie.
I'm just saying, sorry, that may all change now regarding COVID-19 and Australia pushing for the reason why COVID-19 and for China to explain themselves. It may cut all ties regarding Chinese business in this country.
Well, I don't know, you know, but I mean, I just see the current Australians making the same bad decisions that the Australians that were here 250 years ago made, you know.
Things don't change if things don't change.
They're coming here, they're giving you blankets and mirrors and, you know, oh, geez, they're really good, you know, these people that are coming here. Well, it's the same thing now. Oh, they're really good, you know, pay a fortune for your cattle station. You know, these Chinese, you know, has a function in the Greater Cairns area. And they're giving out prices in the sugar mill. Was owned by Chinese, and the Chinese were there, and I thought people would throw themselves on the floor and start polishing their shoes at one stage. And it was just sickening and humiliating for me as an Australian. Mm. But you know, Trevor, we made the same mistake as Australians 250 years ago. We made exactly the same mistakes, and we weren't bloody nothing as a nation. So these are on wider issues. But I always feel...
They say the definition of insanity, doing something over and over and over again, expecting a different result.
we know our football with Timses and Catters. That's a famous quote from Wayne Bennett, you know.
So very good, yeah, very good sharing with you. Thank you very much, Bob Catter.
Yeah, great honour to be on your program, Trevor. And say good day to Dad for me.
I'll pass it on, mate. All the best to you.
If he hasn't got that football photo, if he could please get in touch with me.
Yeah, I'll flick it over to you.
Yeah, but he's given the orders, cheeky beggar, that your father was.
You take care. All the best, Bob. Thank you. A deadly yarn there with Bob Catter. Got a boo in his hat in regarding COVID-19 and the way First Nation people have been treated. He says not a lockdown more than a lock-up is his statement there. Look, add to the conversation here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as B-Band Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. That deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, here at BBM 98.7 FM via NERS, National News Radio Service. To Daily Mob, stay tuned.
from Jamaica. He was a black man, Jamaican black man. He came sailing on the seven seas, hard of hand, a sailor man, taking treasures from the sea.
Yes, a very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, Voice for Our People, so do utilise it. Give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. So, yeah, we are in a pandemic at the moment. The world has turned upside down regarding COVID-19. Look, hats off to all Australians. We are doing our bit regarding flattening the curve. But very important that we keep our appointments in regard to our doctor appointments and outside COVID-19. And especially in the eye department, we're going to have a chat now with Dr. Sheesh Lal, Director of Australian Society of Ophthalmologists, and just talking about keeping an eye on your appointments, pardon punts, you know, on the line. We've got Dr. Sheesh, a very good morning. How are you?
A very good morning to you too, Trevor, and thanks for the opportunity to speak to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Doctor?
I'm in Sydney.
In Sydney, all right. Fantastic. So, yeah, we are talking about the pandemic that's upon us and the fear factor of people not attending appointments, fear of COVID-19, but very important that we keep our appointments in regard to other parts of our body. And you've been an ophthalmologist, very important about, especially with First Nation people, cataract and diabetic eye disease. Can we elaborate on that, please, Doctor?
Yes, certainly, Trevor. And look, I think, we all empathise with people being scared to go into health settings at the moment. I think, you know, across the board, it's been a very worrying and uncertain time. Mm. And as you know, we were hearing all of these terrible stories from, you know, Northern Italy and New York, and we all thought it was going to be a lot worse in Australia than it has been. And a lot of people, were understandably very concerned about going out. But I think it's important to understand that doctors have continued to provide urgent treatment during the pandemic. We certainly understand that patients may be feeling worried or uncomfortable about attending appointments due to COVID-19. But now with very low numbers of new cases of coronavirus infection, we're becoming increasingly concerned that there may be more serious health effects, not from the virus, but from people delaying treatment for other medical conditions. So we're encouraging people to keep their appointments, particularly any urgent appointments or if they have sudden changes in their vision.
Now, with First Nation people, we find we are top of the table, which is not a score we want in regarding cataract and diabetic eye disease. Can you talk to us about that space in regarding First Nation people?
Absolutely, Trevor. So, look, there's good news and evidence of progress, I think. Things have improved a lot over the years. However, you know, as you say, there are statistics that we don't like to see. Mm. So Indigenous Australians still suffer from visual loss at almost three times the rate of non-Indigenous Australians. Compared to the rest of the population, Indigenous Australians have fewer eye examinations. Those that have diabetes are having less eye tests than the rest of the population. Among those with cataracts, less than 60% of Indigenous Australians have had cataract surgery, compared with now 90% of non-Indigenous Australians. So we've still got some way to go. But I have to say there's good news and there's evidence of progress. So, you know, interesting, the most common cause of poor vision in Indigenous Australians is, in fact, not having glasses or not having the correct glasses. So something as simple as that.
Sure.
So it's good to see that the number of appointments for Indigenous patients, for example, under the visiting optometrist scheme, it's increased by 400% over the last 8 years. So the message is getting out to communities and through the health workers that it is important to have your eye checked.
Look, hats off to our First Nation health organisations. They're doing a fantastic job in regarding dealing with our people, and it's fantastic when you have black on black with our Indigenous workers working with our mob, our patients as such. And so when we're talking about, say, I'm doing a medical, I mean, just doing the basic medical, by going through the medical, then they're doing the part of the eye detection, so to speak, and find out if there's any dramas and stepping further into that prevention, yep?
Exactly. So the primary health care, the Aboriginal health workers and Torres Strait health workers, they're incorporating the yearly eye checks into the patient's regular management plans. They're doing a lot of the work in establishing a patient recall system to identify and remind people to come for their eye checks. And they're referring patients who have diabetes to optometrists and ophthalmologists to have that review. So it's really important to understand the essential role that primary healthcare workers play in all of this.
So there's a lot of work being done, good work, and so step towards a good sight, so to speak, good vision regarding the future, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. So you know, Trevor, you said that in terms of eye diseases, you know, cataracts and diabetic retinopathy are the most important ones in the Indigenous community. And cataracts, for example, are still the largest cause of treatable visual loss.
Okay.
But there seems to be good progress here as well. So over the last 8 years, the rate of cataract surgery for Indigenous Australians increased by over 40%. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
That means that more of the people who need cataract surgery are getting it and seeing better. And look, cataract surgery is a wonderful operation. It's a spectacularly successful operation in improving vision. It's a one-off operation. And it, you know, really can, the actual surgery itself will last you for the rest of your life. So certainly worthwhile improving access and encouraging people to have their eye checks done.
And when your eye checks done, are we talking once a year, doctor?
Yes. So there is ideally once a year, particularly if you have diabetes.
Okay.
So there is a slightly, it's a different recommendation here, Trevor. So in Indigenous communities, because of the increased rates of diabetic vision loss, so as an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, unfortunately, you're three times more likely to have diabetes. And if you have diabetes, you're twice as likely to have vision loss. So we actually changed the recommendations. In the non-Indigenous community, we're saying once every 2 years. But if you have diabetes, in the Indigenous communities, we're suggesting an annual check because of those increased risks.
Sure. So there it is. It's up to the individual as well to do their bit. And the fact that we're having this conversation on national radio, a lot of our mob do listen, and of course government listen, and a lot of our professionals do listen as well. So it's a great tool. Thank you very much for sharing, Dr. Sheesh, and all the best to you and your team and your family, especially with this COVID-19. Stay safe, doctor.
You stay safe too, Trevor, and thank you so much for your time. And yes, yeah, so really encourage people, look after your eyes. They're precious. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of disease doesn't cause symptoms until it's too late. So do get those eye checks done.
Beautiful information and a positive message. Thank you very much. All the best, doctor.
All the best to you, Trevor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn with Dr. Sheesh Lal, his name is, Director of Australian Society of Ophthalmologists, and talk about cataract and diabetic eye disease with our mob, First Nation people, and hats off to the primary health care with all our First Nation health organisations doing a fantastic job. But you mob out there, the individual, the brother, sister listening here on National Talkback, do your bit for your annual checkup for your medical, as well as with the eye, with your eye disease as well. So very important that you do your bit there, you mob. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn with the Bully and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bama Brit Midi, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Give me a call, 1-800-422-416 to Deadly Wob.
We sway, Pamela. Bala Pizza, a.k.a. Optimus Rhymes, with some coronavirus information for Indigenous communities. Coronavirus is a sickness that can spread from person to person. It can affect everyone inside community Buyumi. Emi mean are dangerous, especially for our elders or people who are already sick. Stop house as much as possible, especially if you are over the age of 50 and have a chronic illness. Avoid from tasu face kadati an, especially your eye, nose and mouth. This is where the virus can go inside your body Buyu. When possible, wash your hand with soap and water for 20 seconds and keep your hands clean. Stay safe. God bless. Eso.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, so now we've had fires, we've had floods, we have COVID-19. The other problem that may rise is Legionnaires. I'm now going to catch up with Murray Thomas, CEO of Master Plumbers and Gas Fitters Association of WA. On the line, Murray, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Trevor, and thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming to the program. And as I mentioned in the intro there, we've had fire, floods, COVID-19, Legionnaires. And tell us about that and your warning about Legionnaires outbreak after COVID-19.
Yeah, Trevor, it's another bacteria coming at us, so it's a bit of a worry. But what we're talking about is stagnant water, where it sits dormant for a long period of time, or for a period of time, say from 6 to 8 weeks. You need to flush your taps and make sure that the water's flowing and there's clear water coming through. So what we're saying is flush your pipes, make sure that the stagnant water's moved on, but also, you know, at every outlet where you've got aerators and showers, etc., make sure that they're all clean. Aerators need to be clean so that the bacteria or film or biofilm that may have formed in the pipe is all clear, because Legionella bacteria is a real thing.
Okay, so you're talking about office spaces or homes or second homes that we haven't been into because of COVID-19 isolation. When you get back into those places, start running the water is what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And it's not for running for a long period of time. It's a matter of just clearing what's within that pipe to make sure that the water's clear and anything that may remain stagnant has moved on. So you just need to clear those pipes, and particularly at every outlet within an office or whether it's in the home, just to make sure that those areas that haven't been used, just make sure that they're flushed and clean, and we can clear any bacteria that may be within the pipe, because Legionella bacteria is a real thing and something that we need to be concerned about.
And when we talk about Legionnaires, I don't know, you've been a plumber, but talking about Legionnaires, I don't know, I'm a radio man, is it contagious?
Yeah, it's formed in droplets of water, so it's a water bomb, but misty sprays and those sort of things, they can, you know, carry the bacteria quite readily. So you need to be, like, particularly with the shower heads, because the shower heads may have sat dormant for a long period of time.
Yes.
You need to make sure that there's no bacteria that will biofilm that may have grown within that shower head. Once you turn that shower on, you may, may spray you with it. But Legionella bacteria does not survive over 60 degrees. So if you can heat the water up or get, make sure that it's hot, it burns off the virus if it's over 60 degrees. The virus can grow in temperatures between 20 to 50 degrees, so you need to make sure it's hot and cold water, particularly in some parts of Queensland where we have water pipes that are exposed to sunlight. They may even be, they're around 30 degrees because they're exposed to sunlight.
Exactly.
So you need to make sure that they're all flushed.
Okay, now you've been the CEO and of Master Plumbers and Gas Fitters Association of WA. Most plumbers, well, all plumbers in the industry are aware of what we're talking about here, and they too would be conversing with, if not customers, but associates as such to curb this Legionnaire outbreak, if that's the case.
Yeah, they surely are, and I'd just have a discussion with your plumber if you have some concerns. But it also means things like ice makers, coffee machines, cooling towers, all those sort of things need to be flushed as well, just to make sure that there's no apparent bacteria in them. But your licensed plumber will give you, they're all educated in it, and they should be able to give you the advice you need to follow that through.
Well, it's all about prevention, and there is no prevention regarding COVID-19, so let's put in place prevention regarding Legionnaires. Thank you very much for your conversation there, Murray Thomas. You wear another hat as well regarding New Zealand, is that right? Paint the picture there.
Yeah, we're the association, so we're a federal body, but we also encompass New Zealand. So it's Master Plumbers Australia and New Zealand is the organisation, so we work together across the ditch, which is great. So we are brothers over there, which is good. But it's great because a lot of us, we travel over to New Zealand and we to and fro. So it's good that we're all working together as down south here, all in the right direction.
Yes, and all singing the same song, brother. Murray, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your family, your team. Take care, stay safe, and we'll talk soon, Murray.
And same to you, Trevor, and all your listeners. Thank you, mate.
Bye-bye. a beautiful yarn there with Murray Thomas, his name is, CEO of Master Plumbers and Gas Association of WA, and also with New Zealand. And it's the warning about Legionnaires' outbreak after COVID-19. So like I said, fire, floods, COVID-19, Legionnaires. We need to prevent Legionnaires. And so what he's saying is when you go to your second home or you go to a part of your home or your office in regard to running the water to gush out any stuff that's been sitting in the pipes as such. So that's what we need to do. So do what you need to do. And you don't run it all day. Just run it for a while. Hot and cold water is what he's saying. So take that on board, or otherwise have a chat to your plumber. And a plumber who looks after you should know what you need to do in regard to prevention of Legionnaires. Have you say your mob yarn are strong here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Too deadly.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
Someone found a letter you wrote me on the radio. And they told
Too Deadly, Jessica Mowboy on the radio, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry on the radio as well. Here is your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray, going to sign off here. I thank you very much for your company, Mob. We're back in the hot seat tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 24-7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Take care, you Mob. Thank you very much for your company. Don't forget Australian Government National COVID-19 Helpline number, 1-800-020-080. 1-800-020-080. Don't forget, restrictions are being lifted, but let's not be complacent. And we don't have a vaccine for the virus, so we still need to take care and adhere to the rules that are in place. But travel safe, you Mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe, and we'll be yarning soon. Thank you very much. Take care, you Mob. Got news coming up via NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly. Thank you, Mob. Thank you.
In the ground there lies a man that built this place with his two hands. Never once whinged or complained, just went about his business every day. Over 6 feet tall and very wise, a Christian man with a Bible by his side. An Irish dad and a dark-skinned mum. He had light skin but could speak his native tongue. Grandpa, you are a hero in my eyes, and the young ones these days will never know why. About the work you done so far and so near. But Grandpa, you were a quiet achiever. Your garden was a standout in the town, looking so beautiful all year round. Could eat most everything that you grew, another hidden gift for a man like you. Grandpa, you are a hero in my eyes, and the young ones these days will never know why. About the work you done so far and so near. But Grandpa, you were a quiet achiever. Now looking back at that empty house of yours, and how it gave us so much love and joy, and the stories that came within its walls, of the laughter and the sadness shared with all. We always had fun down the beach, going up and down from Alligator Creek, fishing and spearing with him every day was how we spent most school holidays. Grandpa, you are a hero in my eyes, and the young ones these days will never know why. About the work you've done so far.